JM in the AM. Today's a great day here at JM in the AM. I've always wanted to welcome Rabbi Dr. Aaron Rakefet Rothkopf into our studio, and today I finally have the opportunity. Rabbi Rakefet Rothkopf is going to be the guest speaker on the occasion of the reissuing of his two published volumes, one entitled Bernard Revel, Builder of American Orthodoxy, the other entitled The Silver Era, Rabbi Eliezer Silver and His Generation. The event happens this coming Sunday at 11:30 a.m. in Belfer Hall on the 12th floor up at Yeshiva University's Washington Heights campus. Go to yu.edu/revel-event, yu.edu/revel-event, or dial 212-960-5400, extension 6168. Rabbi Rakefet, an honor to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you very much. It's first of all, we go back a long way. Your father was my mentor in the rabbinate. You know that. Not that any of my students believe me today, but in 1962, I was appointed to the Reitz faculty, appointed a Rosh Yeshiva by Rav Shmuel Belkin, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. But he made a condition with me. I quote him word by word. I need people who have a personality for the rabbinate. I don't want you to leave the rabbinate. And he picked up a phone to the Community Service Division and said, I believe it was to Mr. Vic Geller and Rabbi Yumi Wolfish, find a position for this young Rabbi Rothkopf within commuting distance of the yeshiva. At that time, a balabas that your father had greatly influenced decided to build an Orthodox shul, the first mechitza. No one believes me there, but these are the facts. You can verify it.
Oh, I know the story.
First shul with the mechitza, suburban Essex County, Maplewood, South Orange, right at the corner.
Right.
And I was
Beth Ephraim.
Beth Ephraim.
I spent many a day there.
Named after his father, who was a sheikhet.
Ah.
And he broke his father's heart. He wasn't from. And now he became a real Baal Tshuva. It was Dr. Morris Weinstein, Zichrona Levracha. And he, whenever I see the odd couple and I see Oscar, in the way Oscar dresses with that hat, that jacket, it reminds me of Dr. Weinstein. I think I see Dr. Weinstein walking along.
I hear Dr. Weinstein laning every Monday and Thursday.
So, you know, Kol HaKavod Lo.
He was amazing.
And I was the first. I was there, you know, and I went an aliyah from there. The truth was, it made me into a mensch. It fine-tuned me, that shtel.
So what role did my father have in actually founding the shul?
Well, he was the one who advised Rabbi Dr. Weinstein to get it open, what to do, and we were very close. I need not tell you, we were a handful of Orthodox Jews.
And today, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of
this. Yeah, sure.
Beth Ephraim
Rabbi Bogomilsky took over. What are you talking? I went back at the end of, I think it was 50 years since I left. Not that anyone then would know my name today, but Malka and I went back. And the church, that used to be our symbol to turn into...
The landmark.
The landmark. And I used to tell Malka, please don't use the church as a landmark. It's a big shiloh. There's so much written achronim on this. And today we come back. The church is the shul. We couldn't believe it. And the shul is some sort of dormitory. It must have a little yeshiva there. Leave it to Chabad. And they put up an Erev. I couldn't believe it.
Well, and also Maplewood started flourishing in general because of the train and all that.
Well, Baruch Hashem. But, you know, Kol HaKavod to Chabad. That's
100%.
All I can
say. Yeah, incredible work. And I had the pleasure of davening for many years as a single man at Rabbi Bogomilsky's father's shul in Ivy Hill, New Jersey.
Shmuel Pesach.
Right, correct.
And that, in my seventh book, let me tell you the story.
Go ahead.
He taught me what Chassidus is all about. We were very close. I think, you know, in my life as a Rebbe and as a pulpit rabbi, basically, I always try to get along with everyone.
Right.
And Shmuel Pesach and I, coming from different worlds, we became very close. So one time, and we used to run joint education together, adult education. So one time, Shabbos morning, I had to rush over to speak with him and to know what to announce in shul. I come into his house, 8 o'clock in the morning, Zitz Debenon and his wife bringing him cheesecake and blueberry pie and coffee. And I say to him, Shmuel Pesach, how do you eat before davening? And he looks me right in the eye and he says, Aaron, let me tell you the difference between us. You daven to eat. I eat tadavi.
Oh, gewaldig. So
there it is. There it is.
It's all the attitude. Huh?
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Rabbi Rakefet is here. Now, I mentioned that today is my grandfather's 40th yahrzeit. You must have known him.
Your grandfather was a big Talmud Chacham. You come from an old, old Yerushalmi family. Dorei Dorot, well-known, the Segel family, well-known, Levium, yeah. Segel. I met many members of your family over the generations that we have lived in Israel, and although you're doing good work here, I have one question for you.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing here in Jersey City and Teaneck? You know where the action is at.
It's very close to the airport. Does that help?
Well, at least, let's put it this way. Poverty of family is there already.
Yeah,
so,
Baruch Hashem.
That's what counts.
And we hope to get there, especially as we get closer to Yom HaTzmut and feel even more and more guilty. Rabbi Rakefet, you know, it's funny that of all the personalities in the history of American Jewry, Rabbi Eliezer Silver was one of the first that you explored in such an in-depth level?
Yeah, no, that's out of my seven books, that's probably my most famous. It's been quoted. I don't want to praise my work. Yalalu chazarim v'lo picha. Although the Rav used to say with his sense of humor, if there's nishkan kanzarim, if there are no others praising you, then you should do it. But I do write in my seventh book, which I consider my best as far as the message, from Washington Avenue to Washington
which
Street.
Which a lot of people in this audience enjoyed.
Baruch Hashem, the reviews have been fantabulous.
It's amazing.
But I'm happy to hear they know about it in America because in Israel it was launched. We had an unbelievable book launch at the Great Synagogue where it was a moment in time. Dr. Tova Soloveitchik Lichtenstein spoke.
Right.
Yosef Hatzadik Mendelovich spoke. And Avdecha Nehman and I finished out the evening. But it was a moment in time. But in the book, I quote a scholarly journal, in a states the most excellent, they use an adjective which scholars are not allowed to use, the most excellent single work on the history of Orthodoxy in America is the Silver Era. The story how I got involved with it is very fascinating, which I want someone from Bernard Rebel Graduate School to hear as well, Rabbi Rakoff.
And let me just introduce Rabbi Rakoff. I apologize. Rabbi Ari Rakoff, a wonderful old friend, as many of you know, is here in our studio, Associate Dean of Institutional Advancement, both at the Azraeli Graduate School and at the Rebel Graduate School. Good morning, Rabbi Rakoff.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Rabbi Rakoff.
When I did my research for my doctorate in Rabbi Revel, so I got to know Rabbi David Silver, the son of Reb Lazer.
Right.
And he was a Talmud of Rabbi Dr. Bernard Revel. And I don't have to tell you, if you knew Rabbi David Silver, he was a princely individual. His midot, his speech, his whole decorum, how he conducted himself.
Rabbi Eliezer Silver.
No, his son.
Oh, his son, Rabbi David Silver.
No, so we became.
We didn't get to his father yet.
No,
now we're still with his son.
We became very close.
Gotcha.
I was doing research in Revel, and this was a Talmud of Rabbi Revel. In the early 70s, he met me at the Kotel one rainy Friday night.
Because you're always at the Kotel on Friday night.
For 45 years, now due to the aging process.
I've walked back with you at least partially
many
times.
For 45 years, but now the knee specialist is, for the time being, has ruled out a
40... They've hampered your routine.
I've ruled out a 40-minute walk. But I do daven with grandchildren, so I have some compensation. So Reb David says to me, look, I'd like to send you the silver archives, you know, photograph it and do something on my father. And I tell him, Rabbi Silver, I'm speaking to Rabbi David Silver.
Understood.
But I always called him Rabbi because he was a lot older, and there was a certain reference. I said, Rabbi Silver, I have a doctorate. I don't need two doctorates. Go to Bernard Revel Graduate School and tell them you have the archives. And I would be happy to help mentor the person doing it because I had a lot of archival experience from my work on Rabbi Revel. So David went to Bernard Revel Graduate School, and months went by. A year later, he comes back to me. There's no response because the fellas at that time liked to do a doctorate on a manuscript. It's a lot easier than creating Yesh Mayayin. In other words, it's a lot easier to dress the bride than to create a bride. We'll put it that way. So the late Breira, a year later, I started my research, and I went to work. And thank God, it's the product, stands for itself. My students gave me heart failure a few months ago in Gris Kolel. They show me a printout from eBay or from Webster, whatever, in their world. Rebbe, are you aware that here, mint copy, unread, a first edition of the Silver Era, $1,800.
Oh, my God.
And I said, this is outrageous. Rembrandt died bankrupt. Go and buy a Rembrandt today. $1,800 for the silver was Ratkefet HaKekrogen HaFashnuken, a 25-cent piece or a half dollar 40 years ago. You understand? $1,800? But then I announced in class, it's on the YU Torah, you know, if you hear the shiur, which I said, gentlemen, don't you dare buy silver or revel. Bezrat Hashem, there's a fourth edition, new, in Panim Chadasha, coming out of both volumes. And that's what the Bernard Revel Graduate School is celebrating.
I knew the price of silver was going up. I didn't know it was that silver we were talking about. Boy, I'll tell you.
1800. I'm still chuckling.
Rabbi Rakefet is here. You know, it's funny because my father, of course, knew Rabbi Eliezer Silver.
Of course.
And there are two stories. His sense of humor was legendary, correct?
Correct, correct.
I mean, that's something that everyone knew who knew him, that there was a sharp wit about him.
Right, right.
And the two things I always think about, one is, of course, the And Canada, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's...
Well, that story, I have to tell you, knowing the family, I can tell you it had to be true.
Oh, sure. I think you're about to tell me it wasn't true.
No, and it had to happen more than once, but let me tell
yes,
the story.
Yes, please. That's what I want you to,
you're
sure.
Taking, I don't know if...
go ahead. We'll worry about
that. Rabbi Rakoff even knows the story. But Reb Lazer Silver, they used to tell me, he'd get into a cab and go to the airport. When he'd reach the airport, he'd look at the list of departures and he'd pick which city to go to, because he always had Rabbanisha business in any city. So one time he's in a cab speeding to the airport, and the cab driver's hailed over for speeding. And the poor cab driver is telling the policeman, I have the chief rabbi in the United States.
The head of the Union of Orthodox Rabbis of the United States.
And he pops out. He says, and Canada.
Right, Rabbi Silver yells, and Canada.
That story is absolutely true.
Now, I want you to know something. It was funny because I was at an Aguda convention about 25 years ago, and I'm standing next to Rabbi Scherer. And one of his big balabatim walks over to him. It was Thursday, the first day of the convention, and says, oh, Rabbi Scherer, the head of the Agudas Yisrael of America. And he goes ahead and says, and Canada. So that line, because of Lazer Silver, stayed for generations. The other thing that the other story that my father always told, and this one I would really love to know if it's true or not. You know the one about the racetrack?
No.
Apparently, this is how my father told it. Yeah. My father told that Reb Lazer Silver needed to, he was raising money often, right? He raised a legendary amount of money for the yeshiva in Cincinnati, or a shul in Cincinnati,
he
right?
He raised a Gudas HaRabbanim, Vat Hatzalah.
Right. Constantly looking to support important causes.
They never paid him his salary. The check was given to his wife, because walking home from shul, he would give away the whole salary.
So my father would tell that Reb Lazer Silver needed to see his big balabatim. So where did he go? He went to the racetrack. That's where all the big balabatim were. And he says, Harav Segal, you wouldn't believe the covet that they treat me with at the racetrack. So my father says, what do you mean? And he says, all of a sudden, the entire place stands up and they scream, they're off!
They're off. The Rav.
I walk in and they go, they're off.
The Rav.
They all
Rav.
Said, they're is that, off. Is that great? So is it possible that one's true? We don't know.
Knowing Reb Lazer, anything is possible. Do you know how we came to the dedication of Chevron Yeshiva and Givat Mordechai?
Let me hear.
All right. It's very simple. I was already living in Israel. Eyewitness was the groundbreaking,
right.
I should say. The dedication, he was dead already. This is around the mid-60s.
Right.
I heard the story from eyewitnesses. The LL plane lands in Lodz. He's late. He hires a helicopter, and in the middle of the delegation in Givat Mordechai, which was then, you know, not like today, not built up. It was one big pardes, one big orchard. Suddenly, a helicopter lands, and out comes Reb Lazer, ich bin doch, ich hab angekommen, I have arrived. And that was Reb Leisa.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you one that I'm an ear witness to. I met him twice in my life. This was the I write about this in I write about it in the Silver Era, and I believe I write about it as well in From Washington to Washington. If you recall the name Norman B. Abrams.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Norman B. Abrams didn't grow up on a tree. He grew up in Lumsham. His father was the mashgiach of the Lumsh Yeshiva, Ravraham Pachta. And later he changed his name from Pachta, people laughed at it, so he became Abrams in honor of his father.
Wow.
So the Lumsh Yeshiva in the mid-60s had a fundraising dinner here, and they honored Mr. Abrams. Now, to attract the maximal crowd, they had two speakers, Rabbi Emanuel Rachman and Reb Leisa Silver. You can understand it, attracting RCA.
Two giant speakers.
Well, the whole Reitz faculty was there. We all were given tickets to show our support for Norman B. Abrams. I remember it was in the Broadway Central Hotel. It was in the Riverside Hotel. It was in Midtown, not the East Side. It was more elegant. Rabbi Rachman gets up and he speaks. And now they introduce Reb Leisa. And Reb Leisa gets up. Abdizun from mein chaver Harav David Rachman, if the son of my good friend Rabbi David Rachman. Rabbi Emanuel Rachman can speak English, Eret in English, Velech Echered in English. And Reb Leisa gets up and he gives a 22-minute pilpul in English. But I will say, at the last 2 minutes, when he reached the crescendo, he broke out in Yiddish.
Oh.
He couldn't say it in English. You saw what his native language was.
For the last hurrah.
Right. But that was Reb Leisa. His English was very good, I have to say.
Why do you think, and this is not a knock on our friends in the Midwest, but was Cincinnati, which today I don't think on the scheme of things is seen as one of the top Jewish communities in America, at that time was it different?
No, Reb Leisa loved the challenge. He went from Harrisburg to Springfield to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati was bigger than either of those other two communities. It's in the Midwest. There was a lot of shchita there at the time. There were sheikhtim. Right. There were balabatim. You had a nice community. I think what appealed to him was the chance to create Torah in the backyard of the Reform movement.
Ah.
And that's the famous story with the mikveh. When they had to build a mikveh in a new area, he goes right into the heart of the Reform wealthy Jews. And they're going crazy. They go to court. I don't have to tell you when
the regular procedure.
When Jews fight, like an anti-Arab fight today.
Right.
And he brings in the future Senator Taft to represent him in court.
Who would end up being
the son,
president of
the United States? No, the son of the president. Robert Taft, who was later senator, a big Ohev Yisrael, Reb Leisa brings him in, gives him 10 reasons why they need a mikveh. And this I have actually in the Suvir, but it shows Ohev Yisrael. So Reb Leisa writes, men go to mikveh before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, this, that, the other thing. The 10th reason, women monthly. And the senator looks at it, the future senator says, I think the 10th reason is the most important. He hit the nail on the head. The minute the Reform Jews saw who represented Reb Leisa Silva, they dropped the lawsuit. They knew they were lost.
Unbelievable. Because there is an encounter with him and President Taft.
Yeah,
right?
I write about that too.
Right.
And you should know, it was many decades ago. So there's a review in the late Jewish life. You recall, most people don't know what it's about. The precursor to Jewish action.
Right.
So the girl who did the review evidently didn't understand how scholarship works. And she criticizes me for not telling what they discussed in the White House. You follow? And so I don't know if I wrote to the editor or I spoke with the editor. I said, wow, you should tell that girl. If I could only know what they discussed, it would have been published in capital letters. But you know what the meeting is. There was no protocol that survived. But he was, my wife always says, character par excellence.
Unbelievable.
Character par excellence. Totally dedicated. It's a generation. Some of our chief rabbis today haven't learned the lesson. I don't want to elaborate. Where I'm coming from, the country I live in, I think you understand me.
Yes.
But he and Rabbi Revel, totally selfless. totally selfless. When Reb Lezer Silva died, there's a story spreading that had to borrow money to make his funeral. That's not correct. But his whole estate was like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Remember when the Rebbe died, the whole estate was one little house in Crown Heights that wasn't worth that much. And Reb Lezer was the same way. And kol hakavod, what the man did. And remember, he became internationally famous. He was not a Rosh Yeshiva, didn't have students.
Right.
But by dint of his personality, his dedication.
And also in that era, congregational rabbis had more of an opportunity for an international reputation, correct?
I quote the Rav in one of my volumes on the Rav. It was appeared in tradition, but I quote it and I've given lectures on it. It's a very insightful statement where the Rav is talking to Rabbi Beryl Rosenzweig. Mm-hmm. It's the father of HaRav Michal, Rabbi Dr. Michael Rosenzweig, Echad Megedolei Yisrael Hayom. And the Rav says to Rabbi Rosenzweig Sr., to Beryl, he says, who were your heroes when you were growing up, and who were your son's heroes? And without skipping a beat, the Rav says, your heroes were the big three. Who were the big three? Rabbis Goldstein, Lichtstein, and Young. Those were the big three.
The great congregational rabbis. Right.
New York. Right. He says, your son's heroes? The Rosh Yeshiva.
Right.
Okay, so you're right.
It's different.
The sands have shifted.
You'll actually commemorate both releases of these two published volumes, the Silver Era we just spoke about at length, and as you just said, Bernard Revel, Builder of American Orthodoxy. They'll both be celebrated this coming Sunday at 11:30 in the morning up at Belfer Hall. On the 12th floor up at the Yeshiva University campus. Rabbi Ari Rakoff is here. Rabbi Rakoff, what else can you tell us about this coming Sunday's event?
So it's just one slight correction.
First of all,
it's wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
And just a slight correction. The program will begin actually at 9:30 in Lamport Auditorium.
Oh, is this moved?
No. There's a lecture.
Oh, there's
following
two things going on.
The LNL, a lecture and a lunch.
So this is the second of two events on Sunday.
Everyone,
the first happens
all of our
at
listeners
9.
Can come and enjoy,
understood,
and we'll welcome them. But they should come at 9:30. Otherwise, if they come at 11:30, they'll be
and
a little disappointed.
And sure enough, here it is: the 9:30 in the morning at Zeisman Hall in Lamport Auditorium, which is of course the main auditorium on the Yeshiva University campus. That begins at 9:30. I assume that Rabbi Rakefid will be lecturing that morning. Will deliver some words.
He will be the keynote.
He'll be the keynote. Will there be other presenters that morning?
Well, he'll be introduced by Dr. David Berger, President Richard Joel, and Rabbi Menachem Ganak of the OU.
Rabbi Rakefid, nice lineup.
Who come to pay honor. The books are published as a partnership with the OU Press.
Correct.
And Yeshiva University Press. And it's under the auspices of the Bernard Revel Graduate School, which was the doctorate. Correct, Rabbi Rakefid?
Rabbi
Rakefid's doctorate from Revel came from that original book.
And so I'm going to reveal something Sunday morning that has blown my mind and will blow the mind of everyone present with an IQ of over 75.
About which of these two personalities?
We'll leave it to Sunday morning, never reveal.
Will it be about one of these two personalities?
It's going to blow your mind about Rabbi Revel and your humble servant, Aaron Rakefid.
You know what I think of whenever I think of Rabbi Revel? And I thought about this at 4 a.m. this morning. There's one underlying theme that always comes to my mind in terms of Rabbi Revel, and I'll give you a hint. It has to do with Shani Hyken. She's from Tulsa.
Oh, you're talking about, well, Tulsa is not where it begins. He married a girl from Marietta, Ohio. He married Sarah Travis. Let me give you a drop of background on this. Does the name Rav Moshe Bick mean anything to you?
Yeah, Borough Park.
Originally the Bronx. He was the Rav of the Bronx. He was a graduate of TA, of Reed's. He was a Talmud of...
He's a YU graduate?
What do you think? These guys grew up on trees? What's with you? Of course he's a YU graduate. He's a Talmud of Moshe Soloveitchik. He's a Talmud of Reb Dov Revel. He said he is came to America from Meshbetz. His father was the Ashkenazic Rav, the Misnagdash Rav in Meshbetz.
What other Torah giants would shock me that they're from Yeshiva University? Rabbi Gifter was a YU graduate.
Rabbi Gifter was an MTA graduate too, of course. I can tell you that Shait brothers
Scheinberg,
they all spent time with the Rav in Boston when they organized the Kol Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi in the late 30s. which continued until the Rav started giving shirim in New York. Rabbi Chaim Michal Feinstein, the Rav's, it's a cousin, I believe.
Right.
It's not a nephew, it's a cousin. Anyway, the Rav's cousin took over the Kollel, but it wasn't that much Sliach at that point. So then he came to New York, where he taught under his uncle Reb Moshe at MTJ. And then later he went back to Israel to marry the Brisker Rav's daughter. But he also had a very strong kesher with the Rav and what was a branch of what today is Yeshiva University.
I interrupted you about Rabbi Bick. Yes, you were saying.
So Reb Moshe Bick once told me, with that twinkle in his eyes, if you knew Reb Moshe Bick, he had his eyes were glow. You see pictures of him, and it's exactly the way he looked. And with that twinkle, he tells me the first shidduch, you know, he spoke perfect English, the first shidduch made in America was my Rebbe, Rabbi Dov Revel, and Sarah Travis. And there the story is very fascinating. Rabbi Revel winds up in Philadelphia assisting Rabbi Leventhal. He becomes the first doctorate PhD graduate of Drapsy College. But he has to find a wife. And there was a Rabbi Shimon Zivitz in Pittsburgh, also one of the heads of the Agudas Rabbanim, a big Talmud Chacham. And he, of course, knew Rabbi Leventhal. Through Rabbi Leventhal, he knew Rabbi Revel. Once in a while, every few months, he would go to Marietta, Ohio, where there was a very strong little Orthodox community. And he would meet with them to paskin their shilas, to guide them. And he knew the Travis family, which was an old Chabad family with roots in Chabad, a family that related going back years to Gedolei Ashkenaz, etc. Yotzei Chalutzav Shorashi, I believe, Travis. And he made the shidduch between Chaya Sarah, Travis, who was all of 19 at the time, and the young Rabbi Revel. They got engaged, I believe it was Thanksgiving Day 1908, and got married in June 1909. And out of that shidduch came a lot of good for Klal Yisrael, because the Travis family was in oil. When Revel gets his doctorate, he joins them in what you mentioned, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the petroleum business. They support him. For the first years at Yeshiva, he took no salary whatsoever. Only after the family had big financial difficulties because Standard Oil became a monopoly and forced them out of the heart of the business, did he agree to take a salary from the Yeshiva. But until the day of his death, the Travis family was contributed to the support of the Revel family.
And he's the first president of Yeshiva University.
First Rosh Yeshiva and president.
Right,
yeah.
First Rosh Yeshiva president. And dies in what year?
1940, December 2nd. Bet Kislev. It's the same yard site for Rabbi Revel, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, and Rabbi Aaron Moshe Paleyev. All three are Bet Kislev. Three great Gedolei Torah, Mechanchim, Al Admat Hatzalut Habrit, all three have the same yartzeit.
And for those of us who consider Yeshiva University to be a beloved institution and very meaningful in our lives, it would not be what today without Rabbi Revel? In other words, he did what?
It wouldn't exist.
It would not exist without him.
It wouldn't exist. He built the high school. He built the college. He built the Bernard Revel Graduate School. He gave it the format of what later becomes known as Toru Mata. He also discovered Reb Shmuel Belkin, who comes to America, right, a kid in 1928, the end of 28, winds up in Canada at a sister's home. Later he has a cousin who also helps support him during those initial years. I mean, he came to America not even knowing English, penniless. And he comes to the yeshiva, and Rabbi Revel is the one who encourages him to go on for advanced study, writes letters, gets him into Brown University.
And becomes the perfect successor for him.
And it's to a certain degree, it is a clone,
right,
of Rabbi Revel. Both get a doctorate, both in Chachmat Yisrael, Rabbi Revel was into Karaitic scholarship, he was into Philonian scholarship, Rabbi Belkin. And you should know, Rabbi Belkin began as a Rebbe in the yeshiva. And he was a most beloved Rebbe. And he desperately tried to keep on teaching, even after he was elected president, becomes president in 44. installed in 44. He continued giving shir through 45. But as you know, 45 is the year yeshiva gets recognition. It becomes a yeshiva university. Right. And the demands of the yeshiva, the budget, all that is happening, and he had to give up saying a shir. In my work on Washington, right, I quote a letter from Rabbi Belkin where he bemoans the fact he's no longer giving a shir. Right. I want to tell you in parentheses, it had a big impact on my own life, because, you know, I've taught Torah for 55 years. I've taught in Israel for 45 years. I can tell you, over the years, there were many offers made to be, you know, big position with money and fame and title and prestige. And I always turned it down on the spot. And my wife even got a calls. How can your husband say no to us without even telling us he's going to think about it? And my wife knew, you know, I always felt if I left the desk, the chiddush, giving a shir, being able lechanteish, to develop, to be original. This is my life. I don't want to be like Rabbi Belkin, bemoaning the fact I no longer have a student who calls me Rebbe. Quoting Rabbi Belkin.
Right, understood. But if we look back at his contributions,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just astounding what
right.
it was he, and this is not to minimize his successors, but it was he who really took it to the quote-unquote university level.
Well, when you talk in terms of Einstein College,
right,
he changed.
And the other graduate schools, and the campuses.
Right,
and
education for women.
Right.
Central, Stern College.
Correct.
What the man did was revolutionary. And if you knew Reb Shmuel Belkin, you know, you would be shocked. He barely could speak. In
right.
every language, he came across as if there are marbles in his mouth.
And he was so beloved.
And his dedication moved mountains.
It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, Rockland County at 91.9 on the FM dial, and around the world on the web at jmnam.org. I could do this for 6 hours with you, and I apologize that we have to end at some point. But maybe, now that you've tried it out, now that you've spent an early morning with me, maybe you'd reconsider, or consider, I should say, on a subsequent visit to the United States
to
do this again.
Let me just explain. Nachum Siegel has bothered me many times, and I look at him, you know, who needs the publicity? And number two, what hours? But the reason I'm here is to help spread the name of Bernard Revel Graduate School. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope to talk about it not so much on Sunday, which will be more dedicated to Rabbi Revel,
right,
but on Wednesday I'm giving a more private talk, let's say, sponsored by Bernard Revel Graduate School, where I want to explain what Chochmat Yisrael is and how it fits in with traditional Talmud Torah and take the bull by the horn.
Everyone's invited this Sunday, 9:30 in the morning, up at Lamport Auditorium on the Yeshiva University campus. Information, you can dial 212-960-5400, extension 6168. The Yeshiva University website has the info and the reception we mentioned that'll take place later in the day on the 12th floor at Belfer Hall. Information about that as well, yu.edu/revel-event. To be fair, before we wrap up, Rabbi Ari Rockoff is here. He is the Associate Dean of Institutional Advancements at both Israeli Graduate School and Bernard Revel Graduate School. I know you forgive me because you see that we could go out for hours with Rabbi Rakefet.
I was having a great time. I'm eating popcorn. It's great.
But I'll give you an opportunity to remind everybody what's happening with the Bernard Revel Graduate School and the Revel Society, which has been founded.
Absolutely. I mean, in many ways, all of these events, and Rabbi Rakefet will forgive me for embarrassing him here, but everyone understands that Rabbi Rakefet embodies what our school is and represents, and, you know, receiving this recognition is well due to you for all you've done for the community and all your students. I mean, I got 10 calls yesterday from JM&AM. People listening to the show heard he was coming and then, you know, went on
Rabbi
to send
Rakefet's
me a note.
Weekly shir is downloaded hundreds and hundreds of
thousands
of times.
Rabbi Rakefet is the most popular shir in yutorah.org, which might be one of the largest, if
right.
not the largest, in the world.
Amazing.
So it's an honor to sit by his side. My name, Aaron Rockoff, and Aaron Rothkoff Rakefet. And maybe I'll change my name. That will get me a couple more hits on my
more fame and
my
recognition.
Blog. But no, it's a great honor to be back on your show, Nachum. And we We look forward to a nice event, so people should come out and visit us. We'll be there 9:30 in the morning on Sunday.
And I remind you, you have an open invitation, Revel Events, the Society, etc. Let us know what's going on, and certainly we'll talk more about it. Rabbi Rakefet, I can't thank you enough for being here today. Mazal Tov on the re-release. Kudos to the OU and Yeshiva University and everybody else. What's it officially called? The Gruss Kollel?
The Gruss Institute.
Gruss Institute in Israel. Kudos to all of them for making sure that your amazing work is disseminated to the world.
It's been a pleasure to be here and to renew our relationship and to speak about your parents.
Thank you.
And to speak about your son, who used to come into my shiurim, used to sneak in from Torah Shraga.
That's right.
To the Kollel classroom. And he was built like a seagull, I have to say. They're all tall. You get her. His father was a gazunta. Wow.
He couldn't fool you. You knew who he was when he walked in.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Amazing. Mazal Tov to Rabbi Rakefet. The two works that are being re-released are Bernard Revel, Builder of American Orthodoxy, and the Silver Era, Rabbi Eliezer Silver and his generation. Rabbi Rakefet reminds you, you don't have to spend $1,800 on that book. You're allowed to pay regular price to enjoy that priceless work. Thank you. Will you be back in Israel for the Chag, for Yom HaTzmaut, or not?
No,
you'll
I'm
be here.
Speaking here at Yeshiva.
Very nice.
That has to be worked out.
All right. We got to get everyone to get to Israel, and then we'll be able to all celebrate there together.
Thank you.
Thank you. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock, it's JM in the AM.